Hi there, welcome to the Eat Game Podcast. Another episode for you. I'm Tom Evans, and we are here to champion sustainably sourced game meat and educate people on the unrivaled nutritional benefits that it brings. And we're back with another of our weekly interviews. So I'm joined on the podcast today by the whole food warrior, Eva Humphreys. Eva is a qualified nutritional therapist with an incredible amount of letters after her name, I think courtesy of all the qualifications she's gathered over the years. Eva, welcome to the Eat Game Podcast.
Thank you for having me and good morning.
Good morning to you. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to you on this particular series. Got a lot of chefs on. But you're the first nutritional therapist that I've been able to interview. So I'm going to be tapping you up for all sorts of advice. First and foremost, why Whole Food Warrior? Where did that name come from?
Do you know, that's actually a bit of a funny story. So I did a degree in nutrition. I'm a band registered nutritionist by trade. And then some letters after my name, like you quite rightly pointed out, I'm going for a Scrabble score.
So it looks like when you say a BANT registered nutritional therapist, what does the BANT, is it B-A-N-T? What does that stand for those that don't know?
So it's the British Association for Applied Nutrition and Nutritional Therapy. Okay. And they're a member body for nutritionists. They basically make sure that we are fully qualified and we're given the right level of advice to individuals. So it just gives us a bit more kudos and it means that we can work safely and effectively with our clients.
Brilliant. Okay. So, and the Whole Food Warrior side of things, tell us a little bit about that moment where sort of that name popped into your head and you sort of changed gears a little bit.
Sure. So I was shopping one day, as you do. I was in an average supermarket and I was walking around. I was really hungry. You know when you make that mistake of going shopping when you're hungry absolutely everything talks to you? And it was at the time when they still used to have chocolate bars and various different snacks by the tills. And I literally walked around with my nutritionist hat on going, oh my goodness, you literally have to be a warrior to get through this. Like you need a warrior's mentality to be able to dodge all of the snacks and all of the things that are calling your name. I mean, biologically as humans, we are hardwired to seek out food. And in that moment of hunger, as we all know, we are literally hardwired to seek out anything that's super high in carbs. So all of the treats that should be treats. And because everything was singing to me, going, eat me, eat me. I was like, I need a warrior's mentality just to get through the supermarket today. And then it somehow stuck. And I thought, okay, well, what do we actually need? We need whole foods. Whole foods generally, by and large, help to keep us healthy. But I needed this warrior's mentality to be able to get to the whole foods and cook myself a nourishing meal. So I thought, okay, whole food warrior. I just paused it in the back of my head. And when I finished with my degree, it made total sense to carry on with that because it's hard to eat really well when our environment suggests otherwise. And if we really look, I mean, I don't want to get into the politics of our food environment, but everything is singing to us. It's these constant buy me signals for all the naughty treats.
Yeah.
And actually what we do need to nourish ourselves is more whole foods.
Well, I love this quote from you. You say it's not about going to war, rather it's about having the warrior mentality to choose health over convenience. And that is it. That is it in a nutshell. It's so true. As you say, going to the supermarket when you're hungry, it's the worst place to be.
I mean, I love the convenience at supermarkets. I really do because, you know, you can pop in and fill your boots with anything that you need. But we've almost taken it too far, haven't we? Yeah. And it's now majority convenience rather than food, dare I say.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So how recent is this career that you've carved out for yourself? Have you been working at this a long time or was there a sort of a huge career change, a sort of junction in your life where you decided to sort of take this route?
Sure, so I qualified 7 years ago and prior to that, I was in the IT industry. I worked in a really big office, like I suppose the majority of us do these days. And a lot of it was either desk-based or I was out on the road attending meetings. And I guess to an extent, I've got a really realistic approach to nutrition. I work on adding things in rather than taking things out of individuals' diets. And I think having this career in IT really helped me to make the nutrition element realistic because I know what it's like to have to do a 9-to-5 job. I know what it's like to work 12-hour days and I know what it's like to be out on the road and have to battle with service stations for yeah. any form of nourishment. So I kept this really realistic angle to ensure that anyone I speak to can benefit from nutrition. And it's not just siloed to those that have 10 hours a day to be able to cook every single meal from scratch for themselves.
So have you always been conscious of the way you eat and what you eat? Or has this, I mean, when you were still working in IT, were you still quite a healthy eater? Were you still very sort of aware of that?
Let's delete the teenage years, shall we? Because I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure that anyone during their teenage years has a perfect diet.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, what is a perfect diet anyway, right? Yeah. But we digress.
But you've always been quite healthy, have you, as a person? You've always been, you know, in your adult years, you've been a little conscious of it.
I would say so, but only because I'm very aware what good feels like. I'm very aware what feeling in tip-top condition feels like. And whenever I make, you know, terrible choices or my diet slips, which it does inadvertently, because I think all of us really cycle through good and bad eating patterns. Not that I like to brand them good and bad, but yeah. it's easier to visualize that way. I always pivot back to wanting to feel good. And I suppose that drives my choices to ensure that all of those nutrients are in there. Because the gap between feeling really good when you have all of the nutrients going into the body that we need versus not is huge. And I really notice it for myself in terms of fatigue. Like if I'm on top of my game and I've got sufficient quantity of water going in and all of the right nutrients, I feel full of energy. And then to not have that on the other end of the scale is not great. I suppose ultimately none of us wake up in the morning and think, do you know what, today I really hope I feel terrible. I don't think that's ever been the aim. Sure. So for me, that feeling good has always driven getting those nutrients in, or at least thinking about how I can get them in.
And it is remarkable with the fatigue levels and the energy levels, how your body changes in what can be a matter of days. What other rewards are there? What else do we feel? What else, maybe subconsciously things we don't feel, but what's going on inside us when we make that change and eat healthier and have that motivation?
I mean, look, at the very base level of it, the human body, all of us, need a set number of nutrients for our bodies to do what it needs to do. And those nutrients vary from person to person, which is why nutrition gets hugely complicated. I'm sure you've been privy to contrasting information online and on social media in various different places. But by and large, if we can feed our bodies with those nutrients, then we can make the right level of energy. We can take the trash out. So detox, yeah. I suppose. I hate using that term, but mainly because I think it's been really ruined via social and various different things. But it's just giving our bodies the right tools to do the jobs that it needs to do on any given day. That's the best way I can simplify it.
Are you an advocate of counting calories?
Absolutely not. It's the opposite. I think calories are utterly rubbish, in fact.
Right. So all this 2,000 a day for an adult male, it's more about getting the nutrients we need rather than trying to consume the right number of calories per day, I'm assuming. That's what you'd say as a nutritionist.
Absolutely. I mean, look, there's two aspects. One is that if you're aiming for a 2,000 calorie diet, there is no reason why you can't do 2,000 calories of junk. But yeah. that's not going to make you feel good. Mm. So really, calories are kind of out of context. And then the second thing is that when we look at how we absorb calories, it's totally different based on the food that we're eating. So I'll give you an example. If you have a 100 gram bar of chocolate, we've all been there, I'm sure, on a Friday night usually,
yep.
in front of the TV. Typically, that 100 gram bar of chocolate will contain about 600 calories. And if we eat that, we tend to absorb the full 600 calories. If we have 100 grams of almonds, that's roughly the same number of calories. But instead of absorbing the full 600 calories, we only absorb 200. Our bodies are really lazy when it comes to deriving calories from foods that are high in fiber and also that are in the whole food format. So really, calories only actually matter for ultra-processed foods that are already in this digested state. So when we eat them, we can just hoover up all of the calories from it.
Gosh.
So the more we move towards whole foods, the less those calories really matter.
It's really interesting, isn't it? It's really, really interesting. Let me just ask you about organic. Now, there's a word. Is is anything organic okay? Or as a nutritionist, what do you recommend when it comes to organic?
Look, organic and wild is always going to be where I try and aim for. But I know that from an affordability perspective, it's a bit of a contentious issue because, you know, when we're paying £20 for an organic chicken and £7, I think, was the last I've seen for a non-organic chicken, it's a big budgetary consideration. What I would say on the note of organic, which is often something that individuals don't think about, is this. When we eat anything that contains a certain number of toxins, be it, you know, pesticides in the case of non-organic or certain chemicals that get into the mix of things, we have to detoxify those chemicals. And the way that we do that is, luckily, we have a liver, which does a really, really amazing job of filtering out anything that we don't need. But when our liver is processing those chemicals, it uses nutrients. So we use up a lot of B vitamins and vitamin C and zinc and various different vitamins and minerals and other substances to try and get rid of those chemicals. So the more food we put in with a really high chemical burden, the more we're actually getting rid of vitamins and minerals from our system. And those vitamins and minerals are really precious. Really, what we should be doing is retaining as many as we can so that we feel amazing every single day. So organic really shortcuts that system because we know that there aren't as many chemicals attached to organic food.
Yeah.
But there is also a way to do it a little bit cheaper. And I would say there's a Dirty Dozen list, which I'm not sure whether you're aware of it.
No, but I love the sound of that. That's great.
So Dirty Dozen is a list of 12 fruits and vegetables that get covered with the most amount of chemicals. So be it pesticides or, you know, whatever else they're using. Antifungal agents are pretty common. And just switching the Dirty Dozen to organic goes a really, really long way. So from a budgetary perspective, if you don't focus your efforts elsewhere, that Dirty Dozen list by itself goes a pretty long way.
Give us just a couple of those items on that list.
Do you know, typically think of anything that gets eaten. So leafy greens, apples, berries, those kind of things.
Right. Amazing. So just talk me through, Eva, a little bit here about, as a nutritional therapist, when you take on a new client, what is that process? What is it you do, essentially, for people really thinking about getting in touch? Obviously, you consult. What are you doing? Are you putting whole food plans together for them?
Actually, it's a bit more complicated. So typically, if an individual comes to me, it tends to be because they are not feeling well, maybe they have some digestive issues or a bit of hormone imbalance, or their skin's not great, or, you know, there's some form of metabolic disorder, like typically diabetes is one, type 2 diabetes, may I add. And in that context, an individual would come and see me and they go, okay, I have all of these issues. What can we do about it? And then I will look at their food intake, the way they live their lives, how busy they are, how well they sleep. And I will make some suggestions on things to incorporate and may help them feel better. And generally, it's a continuous process that goes as quickly or as slowly as you need it to. So say, for example, at the moment, I'm working with an individual who is a CEO of a company. He's just discovered that he's on the verge of getting type 2 diabetes. And he lived his life on 2 hours of sleep a night. I mean, maybe not 2 hours, but it was there or thereabouts. Whoa. Powered by coffee, skipping meals during the day and then overeating in the evening. So for him, what we had to do is find really easy ways to add in a good breakfast, really easy ways to focus on a bit more fluid intake. And for a couple of months, that's all we've done. We just focused on breakfast and we focused on fluid intake. And what he found is that having a high protein breakfast really made a huge difference to his energy levels. And he's able to then put a bit more effort into the nutrition and a bit more effort into doing a little bit of exercise a few times a week. And it's those little step-by-step additions that really make a difference over time.
It's incredible what we don't know about how our bodies work. I was reading this amazing article by, I think she's called the Miracle Doctor, Dr. Mindy Peltz. I think she's an American lady. But she was listing off all these illnesses and diseases and ailments that could be completely avoided by just not eating refined sugar and not eating processed foods. And I was shocked, and it was remarkable what I was hearing about the inner workings of my body, what's going on in there day to day. It's quite remarkable. It's a miracle, really, how it all comes together.
I mean, it's pretty good. But also, if we really think about it, it's also really, really simple. We just need to focus as much as we can on eating the foods that the human body was designed to eat.
Yeah.
I feel often the more we mess with things and the more we go through these miraculous processes of increasing the amount of food that we produce, the worse it becomes for us.
And well, this brings us nicely on to GAME. And this is why GAME Meat is just so brilliant, all the nutritional values and just the sustainability of it. And, you know, we're just veering away from all these farmed meats with all these chemicals in it. So you're a big advocate of GAME Meat. Do you recommend it a lot to your clients?
I'm a huge advocate of GAME Meat. And I'll tell you how I actually came about recommending more GAME Meats in general to my clients. I was tasked with increasing the nutrient intake of older individuals in a really high-end care home. And in care home settings, unfortunately, I mean, prior to this project, really, I didn't know about the state of care homes in the UK too much. But what I found is that, generally speaking, when an older individual is admitted to a care home, they tend to keep losing weight for quite some time. And then malnutrition becomes a bit of an issue. And I really had to look into the research and the science behind it and go, okay, what is happening here? Like, what are all the factors that we need to consider in feeding older individuals? And one of the things was that the older we get, generally, the higher our nutrient requirement becomes, which, if you think about it, is a slightly odd concept, because the older we get, the more our appetite goes down.
Yeah.
So we've got this multifactorial issue where we need more nutrients, but we also don't really fancy eating. So I had to dig really deep to see what are the most nourishing foods that we can give to older individuals in this care home setting that would allow them to get all of the nutrients that they really need, but without having to serve them huge portions. And what I came across is that game meats actually fit that bill really, really beautifully. So two of the things that older individuals need more of is protein and an amino acid called leucine. The research suggests that if we keep this amino acid leucine pretty high, it stops the breakdown of muscle. And we know that if muscle starts to break down, we become more and more frail. And the frailer we become, the worse our health outcomes in the longer term. And much to my surprise, out of all of the protein sources, game meats had the highest leucine content. So you end up with this really beautiful package of a high protein, high nutrient, high leucine food that we could give to older individuals in smaller quantities, but still know that they are getting a higher amount of nutrients out of it than if they were to eat farmed beef, as an example.
Magic food, Eva, isn't it? I mean, that's fantastic to discover that.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. And it just really, really fit the bill on so many other nutrients. I mean, not even just protein, but things like zinc and selenium, which are the vast majority of us in the UK are very low on zinc. There are some statistics coming out that are suggesting that the majority of us could even be deficient in zinc. And zinc helps us make more energy, keeps our immune system in tip-top condition, and lots of other things around the body. And there are very, very few foods that contain zinc. Game is one of them.
Yeah.
So I think as far as getting all those nutrients in that I kept mentioning earlier in this podcast, getting a bit more game into our diets will just really help us get the right levels of nutrients in without having to try too hard.
And in your experience, Eva, which is the most sort of the healthiest? What's at the top of the list of game meat?
I think for sake of ease and to look at dietary patterns in individuals and across the country, venison mince is really easy. I think the majority of us will have a repertoire of at one point eating spag bol, or ragu would be the correct term for it. It is so easy to substitute that for venison. It makes a really beautifully rich meat sauce, or if not, at least swap in some of the beef for venison to make more of like a mixed kind of ragu.
Yeah.
Pheasant and partridge goes really easily in where we'd usually use chicken. And I think almost a lot of us really overthink, because we go, oh, game, it must be really hard to prepare. It's not something that we used to do in. So I think we almost shy away from it. Whereas what we need to think about is how can we make the exact same meals that we were making before? It doesn't need a new set of recipes, but just by substituting a few of those meats out for game meat, we are adding more nutrients to our diet, which is helping us feel amazing. And isn't that the aim at the end of the day?
Sure. Yeah. No, that's really sensible. And when you do your food demonstrations, which I know are brilliant, you were at the Game Fair, I believe, doing one at the Wild Food Theatre. Would you use game in part of your demonstrations around the country? Is that important to you?
I mean, it is. So this last food festival season, I actually used trout because it's a really underutilized wild fish.
Yeah, okay.
But also I do utilize a lot of game equally. I mean, I've cooked with wild duck before and also venison. Do you know, I've made a really delicious venison steak sandwich at one of the food festivals in Nottingham. So it's my local one. And the supermarket that was literally behind me where the food festival was positioned was selling these really, really beautiful wild venison steaks. I just thought, I have to show people how to utilize it. They sold out. So I think I did my job there. But also, it's just so delicious.
Yeah.
I just really love venison. Can be cooked really simply. I mean, if you're not using it for a ragu, you can just get the fillets and cook them like steak. And you don't need a lot, is the beauty of it.
Sure. You've got some fabulous inventions and creations on your Instagram page. We'll give our listeners the handle for that in a minute. But tell me just about Instagram page. It's important, isn't it? You love the sort of the cooking side and putting various creations together. And looks like a lot of thought goes into that.
Honestly, I just want to make the nutrition part easy for individuals. And doing that through food is probably the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
So I do publish a lot of recipes on Instagram and also my website. So everything is on the Whole Food Warrior, Whole Foods, Whole Food Warrior. And my website is wholefoodwarrior.co.uk.
Well, it's been fascinating, Eva. And as you say, it's all about the mindset, isn't it? And just trying to make that transition into eating slightly healthier. Are there tips? I mean, I don't know whether it's down to the individual completely, but are there tips that we can employ to help us summon that self-motivation to ignore the processed foods that stare at us each and every day and go for the whole food option?
I'm going to give you two tips. I think two of the things that I recommend the most is, one is think about what you can add in rather than take out of your diet. We get far too caught up in thinking about what's bad and what we should be avoiding. And it takes the focus away from things that we should be eating to increase our nutrient intake. So think about what you can add in. One of the things that I tend to focus on most is to increase the amount of veggies that we're eating because, you know, I'm a nutritionist. So at one point, green stuff was going to have to come into it. But vegetables tend to contain a lot of nutrients and we are terrible at eating them.
Yeah.
So think about how you can sneak a few more veggies into breakfasts, lunches and dinners and what that looks like. And then the second is to consider your protein intake. This is not often spoken about because when the statistics came out, it turns out that we're eating a lot more protein than we should be, but we're having them from really terrible sources. So the majority of protein that we eat comes from burgers and sausages, which is really odd. So what I need you to consider is really good protein sources. Because protein, by and large, helps to keep us fuller for longer. So we experience fewer cravings. And if there is one thing I can tell you about cravings is that we do give in to them.
Yeah.
So having a little bit more protein just helps to make sure that we don't get as many cravings because our bodies get tricked into thinking that we are entirely nourished. We do need a fair amount of protein, but we need really nice, lovely quality sources of protein, like your wild game meats, like, you know, what else is there? Eggs. I'm a huge fan of eggs. Fish and shellfish. Shellfish is another thing we're not eating enough of in this country. So think about nice natural sources of protein and how we can integrate more of them. It goes a really long way. But the veggies and the protein are predominantly the two main things that I tend to work on with my clients.
Some brilliant takeaways there. Eva, thank you so much for that. Now, let's end our conversation like we like to do on the Eat Game podcast. I've got some quick fire questions for you. I'm going to throw these at you, I'm afraid, designed to get to the straight of the truths of your likes and dislikes.
Okay, I'm going to try.
Let's start with your favourite game meat.
Pheasant.
You're going with pheasant. All right. Top kitchen gadget.
I'm a nutritionist, so I'm going to go with a really good blender.
There we are. I thought you might head that way. What's your go-to comfort food?
Oh, this is a good one. I would say a lasagna.
Your favourite food city in the world?
Copenhagen.
Oh, really?
I find Nordic food is really good. Okay. They keep things very simple and they stick to very whole food ingredients.
All right. That's good to know. Wine, beer, cocktails or smoothie?
Wine.
We're going wine. Okay. The worst flavour in the world?
Huh. I have a really wide palate. There's not really much I don't enjoy. Licorice maybe has to top that.
That's quite a popular one, yeah. I don't even know why they bother making it anymore. But okay, we'll take licorice. We'll take licorice. I mean, the next question here, the most unusual thing you've eaten?
Fermented bird liver.
Oh, where was that?
Yeah, it was at Fabriken in the north of Sweden.
Okay, wow.
It was very expensive. I'm pretty certain it was like a survival food for them that they decided to spin into a Michelin star experience. But it was wild.
Well done. Rather you than me. A few more to go here. One ingredient you just can't live without?
Potatoes.
Okay. Eat in or eat out?
Eat in.
And I'm going to ask you for your last meal on Earth. You get to choose a main course.
I'm going to find this one really hard because I like all the foods. Can I have a banquet?
What? Of course you can. A little sort of tapas selection. Is that what we do? Is that what we're doing?
Yes. Okay. We'd like I'd like a tapas selection.
Well, that's cheating, but we'll let you off because you've been brilliant. Eva, thank you so much. That's been absolutely fascinating. Just tell us once again where we can find you online and how our listeners can look you up.
Thank you so much for having me. So it's Instagram at Whole Food Warrior. I'm also on Facebook under exactly the same. And then my website is wholefoodwarrior.co.uk.
Eva Humphreys, the Whole Food Warrior, everybody. Go look her up. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for coming on the Eat Game podcast.
Thank you.
Next week on the podcast, then, we've got a former MasterChef champion for you. Patron and owner of Wood Manchester, Simon Wood is with us.
Kids in school need to know that you can eat a pigeon and it's not come from, like, I'm in Manchester, so Piccadilly Gardens, you know. It tastes delicious, it's really enjoyable. Let's turn our kids away from turkey Twizzlers, chicken nuggets and sausages and start to get some more interesting things on the menu in different ways and normalise it.
So former MasterChef champion Simon Wood is going to be on the podcast. That is one not to be missed. If you haven't yet subscribed to the channel, please do. Each week we're going to be bringing you a different conversation from one of the country's best loved chefs. The Eat Game podcast is a Media Cage production. We will see you next time.